Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word. A word filled with your spirit. And we pray that we may catch that spirit and see and hear the truth that is in them. And have the will and the courage, the spirit, to follow them. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, recently, I heard that there is a specially formulated diet designed to help people cope with stress. The stress that builds up during the day. So for breakfast, you have one grapefruit, one slice of whole wheat toast, and one cup of skim milk. Not bad, that sounds kind of healthy. Lunch, small portion lean steamed chicken with a cup of spinach, one cup herbal tea, and one Hershey Kiss. Afternoon tea, the rest of the kisses in the bag. One tub of Häagen-Dazs ice cream with chocolate chip topping. Dinner, four bottles of red or white wine, two loaves of garlic bread, one family-sized Supreme pizza, and three Snickers bars. And the late-night snack is a whole frozen Sara Lee cheesecake eaten right out of the freezer. When you spell stress backwards, what does it spell?
Desserts.
So you eat lots of desserts. But the truth of the matter is, all of us experience stress in our lives. We experience stress from our jobs, from situations in our family, from money issues, losing someone dear to us. It's experiencing tragedy. I dare say that many of us were stressed out with the news from Texas. Stress is a part of our life. And have you ever noticed that when you're stressed, you sigh more? And the truth is, and I didn't realize this until I read up on it, sighing is the body's way of coping with stress. When we're stressed, generally our breathing gets much more shallow. And we don't take in the oxygen that our bodies need. And there's this little bundle of nerves in our brains that when they get this feeling that, uh-oh, we're in shallow breathing here, they kick in this sighing and makes us take a deep breath. I share this with you because when we are breathless, when we feel like we forget to breathe, we can sigh and recover. When we are worried or panicky, take a big sigh. Take a deep breath. It will help you. Some of you, myself included, have already experienced when you kind of get into something, you know, feel like something's going on, you get panicky, and somebody says, just take a deep breath, and you're better. Now think of the disciples in our story from Acts. For the past 50 days, or for however long it was, the disciples had been in Jerusalem. Before that, they had gone through all the trials of Passion Week with Jesus, the Last Supper, the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion. They'd gone through the resurrection, and then they had supposedly, which depending on which gospel you read, had several times with Jesus after the resurrection. But then they're told, stay in the upper room and wait. And they were trying to make sense of what happened during the ministry of Jesus during that week in Jerusalem. And they were wondering, I'm sure, what are we waiting for? What's going to happen? I imagine they might have been a little stressed out. I would have been. I would imagine most of us would have been had we been in the same situation. Reverend Shannon Johnson Kirshner, a Presbyterian church pastor in Black Mountain, North Carolina, writes about the disciples during the 50 days. She says, "And so the disciples did what all church people do in times of fear and chaos. They had a meeting. They busily began to try and get their game plan together. There was so much to do. They needed to get organized. They needed to choose more apostles to help them with their workload that Jesus had left in their trembling hands. After all, they were now supposed to tell people about what God had done in Jesus. It was a daunting mission. Loud sighing must have filled the room. They could not believe they were now the ones in charge of continuing Jesus' ministry to the outcast, to the poor, to the powerful, to the sick. But all without the Jesus' physical appearance. It was enough to make them scared and breathless. So there they are, in the upper room. When suddenly there was a sound of wind blowing through the room. There was a sense the sign has stopped. And the breath came from somewhere else. Did you notice it said from heaven? A mighty wind came from heaven. It didn't come from within him. It came from out here. Filling them with courage, with hope, with peace. Suddenly they weren't afraid anymore. They found strength for whatever lay ahead of them. Now, whether you believe, as I said earlier, that the wind and fire were part of the first Pentecost as described in the story or not, really doesn't make a difference. The meaning is still the same. Something infused the disciples with courage. Suddenly, these 12 men and others who had been in the upper room got over their fear, got over their guilt from denying Jesus or running away from him in his time of need. Suddenly, they knew that they understood enough to make sense of Jesus' life and ministry. Remember, according to the writer of Luke Acts, the same writer wrote both books, according to that writer, the disciples are the ones who never got it during the ministry of Jesus. It was always the outsiders who got it. It was the sinners, the Gentiles, the Samaritans, the tax collectors, and others. They were the ones that always got it, but the disciples didn't. But after this big infusion of the Spirit, now they get it. Something's changed. And they're ready now to take up the mantle left for them by Jesus the Christ. And they begin preaching and teaching. Even right there in the temple where the death of Jesus had been plotted and commandeered. They healed people. As Reverend Kirshner explains it, these timid, stressed out disciples found themselves preaching, testifying to who God was and what God had done in their lives. And the people listened, the crowd grew. Yes, some in the crowd thought they were drunk. You and I might have assumed the same thing, but they had no other way to explain it. But something took hold of them. Some passion took hold of them, and they felt like, now I can do it. The Spirit had come upon them. So what do we take from this story? We take from it the idea that when we are stressed out, when we don't know where to turn, when we are panicky, when we are sighing, the first thing we have to do is call on the Spirit of God and take a deep breath. We can cry out, come Holy Spirit, I need you now. I want you now. And claim the courage, the grace, and the comfort that the Spirit brings to us. And that, my friends, is spiritual breathing. This is breathing that silences our hearts and takes God's Spirit into us. This is breathing like Ezekiel standing before those bones and hearing God say, prophesy to these bones. Now these bones are the people of Israel during the exile. They believed that they were just nothing anymore. They despaired. God had left them. God didn't care about them. And God said to Ezekiel, tell them. Tell them how they can bring those lives together. How they can get the breath of the Spirit within them. I'm also reminded of a story of Elijah. When Queen Jezebel set her minions on him. He took off in a panic and fled for several days to mount to a cave on Mount Sinai. And while he was in that cave, probably trembling with fear that the people, Jezebel's soldiers, might find him, he heard a voice that says, Elijah, what are you doing here? The voice said, go stand in front of the cave. So he got up, stood in front of the cave. And there was a mighty wind. But God wasn't in the wind. There were earthquakes. But God wasn't in the earthquake. And there was fire and flames. But God wasn't in those fire and flames. And then there was the still, small voice. The voice of God. Elijah, what are you doing here? Come, I'll tell you what to do. We'll get you back into the game here. And he did. The vision of the wind, the earthquakes and the fire in that story were the sounds and visions of fear and panic and uncertainty in the mind and life of Elijah. But the small voice was the sound of God. God was in that voice. And think about it. When you are scared or uncertain, what helps the most? The quiet voice of someone talking to you helps you the most. The quiet voice is what some counselors call the non-anxious presence. It helps you to calm your spirit. Oh, if they're not so upset or worried, maybe I don't need to be too. And also it's a voice, the calm voice pulls us back into the game. Spiritual breathing helps us to get on with our lives, to do what it is we need to be doing. Reverend Tom Long, Presbyterian pastor, professor of preaching at Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta, writes, have you ever noticed where this book of Pentecost, the story of Pentecost, is positioned in the book of Acts? It's sandwiched in between two other stories. On the one side is the story of the selection of an apostle to replace Judas. And on the other side is the story about the early church breaking bread and attending to the teachings of the apostles and trying to take care of the poor among their midst. In other words, the story of Pentecost is positioned right between the election of officers and struggling over the programs of Christian education, worship, and service. Right between institution and mission. And whatever it is that we're given on Pentecost, it doesn't lift us out up over these earthbound realities. It drives us in more deeply. but we're driven in fearless. We're driven in with courage, with hope. Peter and his disciples were driven into the ministry of the church. You and I will be driven into whatever it is we need to be doing, as well as preaching the good news. In fact, if you feel that you cannot talk about why you believe in Jesus for whatever reason, maybe what you need to do is ask the Spirit to come into you and help you with that. Give you the courage to share. Give you the courage to speak. I'm sure when Peter stood up to speak to the people of Jerusalem after that first Pentecost, he had no idea what he was going to say. But he got up and it was given to him. So may the Spirit of God come into our lives and fill us with the breath of courage, the breath of the good news of Jesus the Christ. Amen.